Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
You know, we root on players. You know, it's just the kind of American culture. You know, kick that ball, push that thing, you know, all these different things that are we're used to. But the reality is, in the church, in the kingdom of God, we're all called to be players in this awesome story that our Creator is telling that started in the beginning, the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
And we're part of it. We have a role to play. Although it's short, described by James, considered a vapor, it's a part to play. Mm-hmm. Now, there is something I want to encourage you that if, in fact, you don't know this, you probably have felt trapped to criticize others how they're playing their part. But when you realize, wait a minute, I have a script here. I'm supposed to be doing something. Yeah, and it's amazing how empathetic we can be towards, you know, our brothers and sisters when we find out we're in this drama. I'm supposed to be doing something. And then even if your brother limps, you know, even if your sister, you know, has a few issues, and brothers and sisters do, right? Mm-hmm. We all do. That we want to say, so you know what? They're fighting with me. They're fighting with them. You know, there's nothing more precious than somebody that says, you know what? You know, and I'd rather somebody says, when you're picking somebody who's going to fight on your team, for example, and you're picking who's going to go out and do the patrol, for example, and you look at one guy and his uniform is all perfect and it's got all these, you know, iron creases and perfect medals and, you know, the color is still there in the uniform. He's got some starched creases down his pants leg. His boots are shining. Mm-hmm. And then you have this other guy. His hair is just, you know, all messed up, which is today's style, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Speaking of that, I saw me in a segment of VFN TV.
I'm glad I grew up in that.
I'm like, did you ever think to mention that my hair looked like a basket case? Y'all thought I was probably trying to style or something for this generation. That's not my style. It looked like a basket of weed on my head. Anyway, so, you know, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And so the
No problem.
His hair is always perfect.
It is.
It's just amazing, isn't it?
Never moves,
you know. Even when the air conditioner in his limousine is blowing. And so you see this other guy, he's disheveled, you know, that his hair is messed up. And they're waiting to see who you're going to pick to go fight with you. And this other guy with a neat, clean uniform is talking about how well he did. You know, he made a 4.0 on his tests and boot camp. And his gun's all shiny and stuff. But this other guy's got rips and tears on his uniform. And his name tag is kind of half ripped off, so you really can't tell what his name is. He's roughed up. You know, his hands are roughed up. He's just looks, you know, beard kind of growing a little bit. And everybody's leaning forward. Well, most of America presently has been picking this nice, neat-looking dude.
Yeah.
But you understand, if you're going to fight, you know, you're not looking at the outside. You're looking at the inside. So it's not the size of the tiger in the fight. It's the size of the fight that's in the tiger.
That's right.
And when you're talking about choosing people who you want to, you know, work with and fight with, you know, you want to you're going to choose that guy. Mm-hmm. You're going to choose the guy on the right. You know why? Because he's fought. He's not worried about what he looks like on the outside. He's ready to fight the battle. Mm-hmm. He's concerned. There's a fight in his heart, you know. And and pretty much, you know, the Pharisees were worried about the outside of the cup. And you can be with the outside of the cup crew, or you could be with the inside of the cup crew. Think about the people that are thinking about the inside of the cup. They're so focused on the inside of the cup. Sometimes the outside's catching up, mm-hmm. or the outside has a lot of scars in it. But if you go deep into their life, you think, this dude loves God. Despite all of his mistakes, mm-hmm. all of his faults, despite him being a Saints fan, you know, he loves God.
Yeah.
That's so precious, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's so precious. And so you say, I want that guy. Mm-hmm. And everybody looks, well, why would you want that guy? He says, that guy's never fault nothing. You know, I don't trust anybody don't well. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody's hadn't been through something. You know what I'm saying? You know the ones that have been through something, because they're just all like, you know, they're the ones when the lady was caught in adultery, mm-hmm. and they threw her, not him, whoever him was out there. They didn't bring him in. And they brought her and they threw her at the feet of Jesus. They threw her at the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
That would be us. And so, and you can imagine you're on the ground. You're at Jesus's feet. You're at God's feet, Emmanuel's feet. You have all these people who are religious around you. And you're not even looking up because you're thinking, this is not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were in sin.
Right.
You're in sin.
Right.
And they're talking about stoning you. And then they look at Emmanuel. They look at Jesus, the Son of God. And they say, well, doesn't the law say, didn't it say in Leviticus chapter, doesn't it say, in Revelation, you know, it's like mm-hmm. whipping the word on you, like beating you with the sword instead of helping you, cutting things out of off your life. They're cutting you.
Right.
To stone her. I mean, that's like tough. I mean, that's tough, isn't it?
I would think so.
I mean, you've been a Saints fan for a long time, so you can kind of relate to what some of that's like, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I remember your paperback over your head.
It hangs on my wall.
Yeah, right. And that's just, I mean, think about it. I mean, just pause for a moment and think about it. You're at the feet of God. Jesus has come to make the Father known. The people who said they're for God are not for you. And they're using accurate scripture against you. And Jesus didn't call them a liar. And so you're thinking, any time now you can say these guys are wrong. Because they weren't wrong.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to saying the law says that she's to be stoned.
Right.
But then Jesus said this. He said this. He said, he that's without sin, you exercise the law towards her. You set yourself as judge over her. You execute this. You sit on the bench. You take your gavel, you slam it down, and you start stoning her.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, if you're her, you're going like, dude, these guys are really going to think they didn't sin or nothing. They're going to hit me with a stone. It's going to hurt. And wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how many people's like, you're throwing stones, and you're like, are you really? Are you seriously sitting here stoning somebody? Don't you know who we are?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. It's embarrassing. And so she waits, still looking at his feet. Jesus even squats down to where she's at, right? Kneels down and starts drawing in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you can just like tick, tock, tick. Because people that aren't righteous still kill you.
Yeah, right.
There had to be an anointing drop at that moment because there's so many people that get blinded by religious pride that they really think they're righteous in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the clock's ticking, right?
That's right.
And so Jesus is drawing in the sand. I mean, think about it. Maybe he's just drawing things that they did. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and what happens is, I mean, we don't know he's drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just waiting. And then the older men, that's what it says. The older men drop their stones first. They take their judge robes off and they put their gavel down. They're going like, I'm not going to do nothing here. I'm not going to do nothing. You know why? Because the longer you live, the more you limp.
Right.
Or the more you realize you limp. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these young whippersnappers in the Lord, that's a southern term for like, what are you thinking? They haven't, you know, they have a lot of zeal, mm-hmm. but they don't understand yet. It's not applied. There's no application in their life yet. And it's good. Don't ever snuff out zeal, but just brace yourself to be there for them when they experience the reality that they are a fallen man or fallen woman.
Yeah, right.
And they're going like, I can't believe that I thought this thought. You're thinking, oh my goodness. You can be calm about it.
Right.
You know, because it's really it's a brand new thing to them. I can't believe I thought I was so perfect and now I have all this pride in my life. Well, no, you're just beginning to see the pride in your life.
Right.
We were well aware of it for quite some time. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
And we were just, you know, we understand because, you know, we ourselves are the same. And so the older guys drop their rocks first, but the younger guys are still holding on to the rocks. They're still holding on to the opportunity. Wait a minute. It does say there she's wrong. It does say that she's sin. That's exactly what the law says. And they're pondering back and forth. I think we should take her out. You know, and then I think he begins to write a few more things in the sand. I mean, I don't know what he's writing, but something happened. Because they had a second thought, and they began to drop their rocks. And everybody walked away. They were right in saying that the law says she should be stoned. We all should be. Mm-hmm. But now under the new covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, that we can be forgiven instead of being stoned. And so Jesus looks at her after all of her accusers left, and he says, "Where are your accusers?" Mm-hmm. And then he says, "Now go and sin no more."
Right.
He didn't say, "Continue on with what you're doing." Mm-hmm. He said, "Go and sin no more." What does that mean? I mean, this lady had a limp. These other men, young and old, had a limp. Mm-hmm. And those are people you can trust. They've been through something. They understand things. And the naivety, you know, and it's difficult, you know, you can be in a place that you never grow up in God. If you don't have anybody that's speaking into your life, somebody discipling you, you can be 60 years old, 50 years old, but in reality, spiritually, you're probably maybe 3 years old because nobody ever brought you out of the milk of the word. And you're struggling every single day with elementary things and you're defeated. You know why? Because you haven't matured in the Lord. But there's 10,000 teachers and there's very few fathers. We have been dysfunctional in the church. We've been dysfunctional at large, because in America at least, but the world in general, but definitely America, we're seeing statistics that prove it. They say 70% of Americans study survey says that the major problem in America is the absence of the father. It's the absence of the father. Mm-hmm. But you know, what pushed him out or what seduced him out? What's going on? Well, it's because the father's in the church. There's no fathers in the church. I mean, there are fathers in the church, but there's not many fathers in the church. There's a lot of teachers. Let me teach you something. I don't want to hear another teaching right now. I want somebody to mature me. I want somebody to love me. I want somebody to teach me to move from that younger person to the older person so that I can be okay with a limp that I have in my life, that I can walk this out and that God loves me in the context of this. You know, help me understand that though men accuse me, Jesus is not my accuser. That Satan's the accuser of the brethren. Help me learn that I need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, not a religious figure sitting on some shelf somewhere in my house and a dusty Bible that 97%, you know, are not even interested in the context of their heart. Where they know, help me, raise me. Paul said there's 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers in Christ Jesus. Listen, if we want to see families restored, we want to see marriage get back to where God says it needs to be. It's not going to happen because we have somebody teach us about it. Mm. It's going to happen when fathers get the courage to realize we all limp and it's been the accuser telling you can't be. And let me tell you, the accuser lines up. It's like, my goodness. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm hoping, you know, this week on VFN TV, you know, by God's grace, that we're going to speak about the accuser. We're going to uncover this accuser. Because Satan is the accuser of the brother. He accuses day in and day out. And if you don't understand that, you think actually somebody else is accusing you or God's accusing you and all the different stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's actually his voice in doing that. And the father's coming back. And so men need men. Women need women to be able to raise them up in the Lord to be fathers and mothers in the Lord. It's a family. We're called to be family. And we need fathers and mothers who talk about their limp. Who say, you know, I've been through some stuff. You know, help me know that you're not perfect. You know, I can possibly see that you're not, but you're not explaining to me how you're not.
Right.
you know, and because you're, and this is what happens when you try to act religiously perfect, the enemy accuses you to that person, and then that person begins to accept those criticisms and begins to look for all your faults and tries to prove that you're not religiously perfect. And the truth is, that's all Satan's plot altogether. You know, we should have been authentic and transparent.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Lord Jesus, asleep on the head.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
It's time for us. The hope for America is not a man. It's not a woman. Mm-hmm. It's the man, Jesus Christ. We limp. The very fact that we say that we are Christians means that we are sinners. There's no way out of this thing. We're bound for hell, but we found that there's a way to God.
Right.
There's a way to God through his son, Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for us. I mean, that's the whole thing. But the fact to say you're a Christian is not that we can put on a robe and grab a gavel and a stone and start heading out somewhere and fixing to do business like that. The fact that we're a Christian, we admitted that we had to humble ourselves and we had acknowledged that we sinned and that we're hopeless outside of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord. But in knowing him, that he empowers us to walk a walk out that we couldn't even walk before through his grace and his mercy. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the fact. And so to jump from saying that, you know, we are Christians and then jump right into, and then I'm your measuring stick, you know, you should live a life like me instead of Jesus Christ being the standard. It's like, where did that come from?
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so today, I just want to encourage you today. If you limp, you know, understand that we all limp. We all limp. If you don't limp on the outside, you know, you limp on the inside. And you don't want to blame anybody for your limp. You just want to, I limp. You know, I limp. But it just makes me more dependent on God. It makes me more grateful to the Lord for saving me and loving me. Amen. You know, obviously, we have a lot less limps than Pat. But it's encouraging to know when we look and project that we could be like that. No, seriously. Sweetest man you ever want to meet.
Cricket.
It's great.
I love you, man.
Hey, I love you, man. Oh, wow. Sacrifice. So the, no, seriously. No, dude, we're always joking about that. Obviously, you know, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Pat's running a near close in the race, and Chris is beating us by nose.
I did smoke my Bible.
right. He did smoke his Bible. Find out more about that on the View of Torch. And so, even see the Bible that he smoked. Come, see the Bible that he smoked. So, I mean, the biggest thing you could think about this morning, you know, before we go to this break, I just want to encourage you this morning. Listen, don't fall captive. Realize when you stand up for God and you say, you know, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to abide with him, and I'm going to obey him, and I'm going to believe that he's going to empower me to be a father, a mother, a family, a business owner, an American citizen, you know, that, you know, you're going to have enemies. I mean, the enemy is going to be the ones who want to walk in darkness, the ones who don't want to walk with God. They're not going to tell you, listen, I mean, this is what they, if they really were authentic and transparent, this is what they would say. And we've already talked about this in Proverbs. They would go, listen, you're absolutely right. God is real, and he did send his son. And every time I'm around you, all my evilness, all of my dark ways, all that my sin is ever before me. And I feel so convicted when you're around because I realize I'm wrong. All I could think about and hear that I've sinned and I need Jesus. And you are so right in telling me I need the Lord. And I'm just so grateful. You know, they're not going to tell you that. Mm-mm. They're going to say, I hate you. You know, they're going to say, you know, you always, you, and the accuser thing. And the reason why is because they feel like such a sinner in the presence of God. You know why? Because they're just getting in touch with what you already knew. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. But the difference is they're saying, I don't want to leave my sin.
Right.
And when you know you're wrong and you know what the answer is, and you don't choose the answer, you're a miserable person. And you got to blame someone. But this is the big thing. There's a final exam. Every one of us alone will stand before the throne of God, the holy throne of God. So you may live your whole life blaming everybody for your choice to walk in darkness. But guess what? You're going to have to explain that to God. And it's not going to be good. If you didn't choose the right answer. The right answer is Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with him. Find out more how we, or some of us, you know, our stories on meetmyfather.org, and maybe that can help you understand, listen, God, we've all sinned. Every one of us need to drop our rock. Not only are we the religious person holding the rock that we need to drop, but we're also the woman caught in adultery. But all of that was at the feet of Jesus, not just the woman caught in adultery. God loves us all. We're just talking about the awesome grace of God and that, you know, we are not supposed to be judging our brother. The truth is we should judge ourselves to see if we're in the faith. We should test ourselves. But in regards to our brother and our sister, that we're supposed to let God do that, which is a great, it'll take a lot of pressure off of you. I mean, you can get different clothes now. You can get rid of your robe. You can you know, break your gavel and say, you know, God, I'm going to leave this to you. I'm going to leave this to you. And he says this. He says, don't judge anything before it's time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would have judged me before this time, you would have never known this is what I'd be doing. I would be doing this.
Right.
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 And understand, you have a shooting story too. I mean, you think about it.
Oh, I do.
No one ever would have thought. Right?
That's right.
Right. Now, Pat, we probably would have thought he'd be doing something like this. But you can't judge anything. You just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow with somebody. And you got to give, you know, the kingdom time to grow in one's hearts. And don't judge. Just not our place to judge. He says, you know, whatever mercy you, amount of mercy that you give others, that's the amount of mercy that's going to be given to you. Does that mean you don't speak truth? No, of course you speak truth. Does that mean that you don't? You don't look at a situation and evaluate it if it's right for you and right wrong for you, or if it's you know, right for the church or wrong for the no. But in regards to an individual, realize there's always hope. There's always hope, and we just speak the truth in love, not in judgment. You know, when we share things with people, you know, you have to share it in a way they want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
If you condemn them when you're sharing it, they're not going to listen to you.
Right.
So then that was more of a judgment.
Right.
But if you empathize with them and say, listen, let me tell you about Chris's life. And they go, wow, you know, I'll tell you about my life.
Wow. I usually get that effect.
Yeah.
Wow, there is hope for me.
Yeah, yeah. And so that encourages them. That's why we write Meet My Father, you know, a few testimonies up to show people to understand this, that God can use you. There's hope.
Well, you know, I was just reading in Matthew again, and I'm just amazed at the people's responses to him in places where they weren't familiar with Jesus. They were amazed at the miracles that he performed. They were just amazed at the teachings and all of his just wisdom and knowledge, and it was powerful. But when he went back to his own hometown, he got a different response. The people that knew who he was before he was who he was, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I was reading in, it's in chapter 13, verse 53, it says, coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. They said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. And then they said this, well, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers named James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't his sisters with us? Where did this man get all these things? And then it says, and they took offense with him. They just could not receive his ministry. Would not. They refused. And then it says, but Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and his own house is a prophet without honor. And he did so many, and he could not do many miracles because of their lack of faith. So even Jesus could not do what he was sent to do if there's no faith. They couldn't. Wow. It just wasn't possible. Because if you think about it, you read all the different miracles that he performed, a lot of it, I mean, most of them, there was some interaction with the people that he was ministering to.
Sure.
You know, Lord,
your faith has made you well.
Exactly. It was because of their faith was attached to the whole thing. You know, even the woman who reached out and touched his garment was healed of her bleeding. And
yeah.
And when the I think it was the blind man, they were screaming out, you know, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And then he goes, well, what do you want me to do? I want to see. There was faith. There had to be something attached to it.
Sure.
But he went home. These people that knew him when he was just a kid.
Right.
And they could not get past that. They just could not get past this is just some kid that was, you know, working for his dad in the carpenter shop. You know, they couldn't get past it. You know, here's his mom, his sisters, his brother, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
They could not see past it. And they got offended by him. I'm thinking, oh dear God, please don't ever let me get that familiar with you. That I cannot receive from you anymore.
Right.
You know, when your biting times get so, oh, wow, that was cool, God. and you move on. You don't apply it to your life anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't think God's speaking to you anymore. You've heard it all.
I read that before.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the five loaves, two fishes. Oh yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Check. Uh-huh, right. Oh yeah, he feeds everybody. Got it.
I got that underlined.
That's cool. It's highlighted. I highlighted that before. Move on.
Right.
I'm like, oh dear God.
We're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you do. Just Fishing Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fishing Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer and you ask them, you know, hey, what is God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes sometimes hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on XYZ. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today? Right. And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it?
Is God supposed to speak to me?
Have you ever heard this Jesus you profess, you know?
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually, that God desires to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you through his word. Mm-hmm. You know, I love John 10. It says, my sheep know my voice. Yes. And I remember when I began to start to abide, mm-hmm. and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through his word. You know, if you're out there and you want to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what he's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes, he cares
about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much he loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with him and hear his voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
Did you know that there's an app that'll make you taller?
Oh, I need that app then. Where is it?
I'm serious. Go on iTunes right now.
Really?
And like on your iPhone. Once you're on it, put your iPhone on the floor and then stand on your iPhone. Check it out. There's an app for that.
Is there an app to make you lose weight? I need that app too.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I've seen a few of those.
I did too, but I need it. But
well, what there is an app for though. There's an app for the VFN TV daily radio program. You got to check it out. You can go on iTunes, type in VFN TV, and download it on your phone for free. You got all the daily live radio content. You've got all the radio feeds, everything we're talking about. You got it right there with you. So it's like VFN TV on the go. Check it out. VFNTV.com.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Song, a song, high above the trees.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
It's just, I was just struck by that whole scenario that even Jesus could not do miracles in his own hometown. So we can't be surprised that you know, the people around us. I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord, and you know, I was just like radically changed. They're like, "Who are you? What happened? What'd you do with that guy that I knew?" And they didn't want nothing to do with it. I mean, my family rejected me, my friends rejected me. You know, I'm like, it was just me and God, dude. That was it. You know,
right.
And yeah, I didn't care. I mean, I was so enamored by Jesus. You know. You know, I still am today, but you know, it's just that newness.
Sure.
When you first meet the Savior of your soul, I mean, come on. I mean, the only thing you compare it to is when you first meet your wife, you know what I'm saying? When y'all first start dating, you know, there's that newness, and there's that
right.
that just that thing you right. that you have between the two of you. And but when it comes to God, I mean,
which is very low compared to your encounter with God.
Exactly. I'm just trying to people who've never had that or don't know what I'm talking about, what you compare it to. And I was just struck by the whole situation with them, and I just prayed, God, please don't ever let me get that way.
Right.
Don't let me get too familiar with you, that I cannot receive, I cannot see the things that you're doing amongst, in my presence, you know what I'm saying? He's doing miracles every day, but we can get so familiar with him.
Mm-hmm. And that's the fatal price of familiarity.
Yeah.
And that's what every believer should guard their heart from, because it's, you know, what a shame that Nazareth, his hometown, mm-hmm. I mean, they could have been put on the map. You know what I'm saying? Jesus came from here. You know
exactly.
I mean? Jesus came from here. They could have been put on the map instead.
Exactly.
Instead. And that's the whole thing. You know, when you start putting your mind and you start wrapping your mind around things and you start judging things and pulling out your ruler and start pulling and you start measuring.
Mm-hmm.
So you're moving in the things of man and you're not moving in the things of God. You know, and you've got it all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
You got this one. I heard this teaching already. I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to being a little green and humble, and now because you learn a little something,
mm-hmm.
you have, you know, now it's like, oh, I can't receive.
Right.
And who loses there? I mean, Jesus didn't lose.
Mm-mm.
Jesus went to the next city.
He moved on.
He went to the next city.
He didn't hang around. He'd keep going back. And going back and going back, like we tend to do. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my, let me just try one more time. Whack.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, when will we learn? He said, move on. He said, dust your feet off. Right. You know, they're not worthy of you. Just keep going.
Keep it moving because that's just it. They're not going to be able to receive the blessing. They're not going to be able to receive what God wants to do. And what a shame.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to think that you could hold up your blessing, you can hold up the biggest thing that you need in your life for God to do, and because you're closed-minded, because you've got it already figured out, because you prejudged it, because you already know how this is going to end, quote unquote, mm-hmm. and God possibly couldn't do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're not going to be able to have the miracles, the power of God,
that's right.
The truth of God's word that'll set you free.
Yeah,
because you got familiar.
Right. Right, even Jesus said, he told them at one point, he says, even if you don't believe in me, believe in the miracles,
exactly.
Believe in the power.
Mm-hmm.
How can you deny it? It's right in front of you. You know, people are being healed, you know, mm-hmm. from diseases, you know.
They were so blind, they even called him Satan.
Yeah.
It's by Beelzebub that you're doing these things.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, really? Really? It's gotten to that point?
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. And that's, the Pharisees were just looking, and they got jumped all in the whole thing as well. It's just like, this is a recipe. The fatal price of familiarity is a recipe to lose your miracle, to lose your blessing, and to lose everything that God has for you. I mean, ask Miriam. I mean, Miriam got caught up saying, you know, well, God speaks to me too. And here's Moses being called to lead a people out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he probably helped minister to his sister, you know, Miriam. He probably taught her probably how to hear the voice of the Lord.
Yeah, right.
Taught her all this stuff. And all of a sudden now, who is Aaron? You know, who is Moses? Who is Moses?
Yeah.
He's my brother. I know about him.
Yeah.
I know what my mother, man.
I used to change his diapers.
Yeah. Right. It always strikes me like, why would people always want to talk about, well, I remember back in the day. Well, you know, we're not living back in the day. This is a new day. You know what I'm saying? It's that thing of trying to bring back who you were before Christ. Like, deal with what Christ is doing now. You know what I'm saying? This is real. And because she thought that she could do that, God made it very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And she was struck with leprosy.
Yeah.
I mean, many people today are suffering a leprous condition. They're wounded. They have all this stuff going on because they've put and they've touched their mouth on the things of God. You know, what God is doing. They've got so familiar that they're saying things or speaking things out. God's saying, Miriam, Moses, I speak to you face to face. Okay. This is my man. Okay. And there were consequences. Moses had to pray for her. But guess what? I believe those 7 days that the whole Israelites had to stay in the camp. That they were shut down. They couldn't keep moving until she was quarantined and she was healed and then she was able to go with them.
Yeah.
And I think about if you're in some sort of leadership position in your family, you're a parent, you're a father, your husband, if your fatal price of familiarity could literally cause your entire family to lose the blessing. You know, many times we're gatekeepers, we're influencers of what God's doing. We could be ones to help and be a channel and open the doorway for what God's doing. Mm. Or you can be the person to judge it and slam the door shut. And to me, it's like, I don't want to be the one later to find out, I had all these blessings for your family. Mm. I had all these blessings for your friends.
Mm-hmm.
But you squashed it because of judging and whatever. You know what I'm saying? You got familiar. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And now nothing happened. Exactly. And now nothing happened. It's a powerful word, Pat, because it just really helps us to stay humble. That's what we're missing, humility.
Yeah.
It stays humble and say, you know what, God? I'm not going to get familiar with who you're using, and I'm not going to be familiar with your word. I refuse to be familiar. I'm going to allow you to share whatever you want to share with me. Again, even though I might have read this before, I'm trusting that there's a fresh word for me in there. And we can pray, Lord, reveal the word in the word me today. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, and as a pastor or just as a brother or sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing. And that's saying, well, do this. And people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions. That really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the Multiply, it's the MultiplyMovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go
make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe vinefellowshipnetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
You know, if you're out there and you're listening and, you know, you find that life is empty and you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing. You know, you're working a good job. You went to school. You're married. You have a family. You have children. And you know what? Things still don't seem to quite satisfy. And it still seems like, you know, there's a big hole in your heart. I want to encourage you. There is hope today. You know, there is a hope through a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And you can meet him at Meet My Father. You know, the world is hungry. And I can tell you, I was in the same place. I can relate. You know, I went to school. I did all the right things that you were supposed to do. But yet, deep down in my heart, I still had such a huge hole and no amount of everything the world had to offer me. And I did it all. Was never satisfying. And still, at the end of the day, I still was missing my relationship with God. You know, if that's you, let me tell you, you can meet him. You can go to meetmyfather.org and you can meet my father and you can begin this journey of understanding and knowing him personally. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Christ the Lord, the newborn.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I want to share with you something so important that, I don't know, you would just say, you know, life's timeline. I'm going to talk about life's timeline. Mm. And, you know, there's three things we all have in common. I don't care who you are. You have this in common. We all have this in common. One, we're all born. There was a day we were born. Two, we all will die. And the third thing is, whatever we will accomplish in our lives will happen between these two dates. Mm. I think about that. It's like a definite. So anybody that ever did anything, good, bad, or whatever, they did it between those two dates. And it's like when you, so often when we, I look back on the years I wasted and I'm thinking, my goodness, what a waste of time. What a waste of energy. What a waste of resources. And it'd be cool. It'd be cool if that you had wisdom when you had energy at the same time. Together, you know, like, why does it come when you know?
Right.
And so the president of the United States, I mean, you think about everybody. And they say that many people think about making something happen. Some people make things happen, but most people just wonder what happened.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing. You find out after a while by thinkers, you just kind of like, oh, that's all they're going to do. They're not going to ever do anything. They're just going to think about it. I was talking to a man this week, and a businessman, and he says, you know what? He says, I'm just really tired of those behind the pulpit. They're just talking, but they're not doing. They just kind of say it over, but they're not going to do it. There's nothing, you know, that's how man's going to go like, okay, at some point we're going to have to do what we're talking about. Because,
hello.
You know, and he was talking about how, but also at the same time, he was talking about Promise Keepers and how that impacted his life. And, you know, and I was talking, you know, the significance of the whole thing, but no matter what, even this man and other people, that you have to be, those three things in common with everybody else. So whatever anybody else does, you can choose, you know, say, hey, I want to be somebody who actually makes something happen. I'm going to do something with my life, what God has given me. You think about this. Life, this is people that wonder what happened. These are the people that just they say it just happens to them. Mm. Life just happens to them instead of them happening to life. They hope for things to happen, but they never plan on participating in that actually taking place in their life. And, you know, hope deferred makes a heart sick. And if you're a person who just thinks about making things happen in your life, you'll eventually begin to be downhearted because hope deferred makes a heart sick. And if you're one
that life just happens to, and you're always saying, how did that happen? You jumped off the building and broke your leg. That's how that happened. because you didn't vote. That's why that happened. because you think about this. You say, you know what happened? Because you are wondering what happened. You are struggling more than likely with trying to do a scientific study of your past, some sort of psychological review of others. And you're looking for places to play blame. And you're deeply thinking about, you're always in the past. You're thinking about the past. You're talking about, you're 70 years old, still talking about high school reunion. It's like, mm-hmm. This school's torn down and they built like a shopping center on it, you know, and they got to look forward, but they're looking back. You know, they're just looking back and they never look ahead. They're not looking and projecting and planning and all those things you do when you're a person that kind of, you know, makes things happen. You're going to participate. So many, even Christians are going, I'm just waiting for God to parallel the universe with a shooting star over my head, with provision to show up, with a pelican bringing it in his lower bill, limping on one leg to tell me that I'm supposed to do something. You know, I was like, come on. I mean, just do it, dude. Ma'am, just do it. Come on. It's mm-hmm. It's written. Instructions are written in the book. Go. Tell them. Let them know. And even in your business realm. And so when you think about this, but if you're a person who makes things happen, you understand that faith without works is dead. You know that if you're a Christian, you know that if you are diligent in seeking the Lord's guidance and putting an effort down to put down a plan that you're going to work diligently and hope that God's going to bring to pass, that God is going to work with you and something's going to happen. You're not going to just sit back with things just whatever. You're participating in this thing called life. Listen, we're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. God makes something happen. Paul said, I'm going to go to the next land and tell them about Jesus. I mean, he's going to move on. He's going to just go and do and be. And sometimes the Holy Spirit would keep him from going. And sometimes the Holy Spirit would compel him to go. And it was just about going and doing and being. And so many believers have been convinced nowadays. And it's really a lie that a lot of people are buying into, that it's an excuse for doing nothing. Is saying, well, I haven't heard from God yet. And it's like, I don't think you've heard from God in a long time. And it has nothing to do with the call. And it's like, we're supposed to be in the Father's business. You're supposed to be fruitful at your business. If you are a underpaid worker, you're supposed to be blessed at the place that you're underpaid, so much so they're going to want to promote you and see the blessing on your life like they did for Joseph and see the blessing on his life. Mm-hmm. You see, this timeline in our lives that starts at our birth and ends at our death, everything that we'll do will have to be accomplished during this timeline. You know, so many people are like, you know, they're just dreaming. Oh, I would like, and I would like, but they never put anything down on that line. What I would like to achieve by a certain time. What do I need to do to achieve it? And just begin to actively be involved in doing that. And it's just so many, I think so many people are going to be shocked when they get to the end of their life and think, especially Americans, because we live in such a blessed culture. We're not out plowing fields and growing things and raising cattle. Texas, they are. But but we're not mostly doing that. And so it's like, what are we doing with our time? Mm-hmm. What are we doing with it? And so many businesses, like for example, in sales, they realize if I could just get the people that work for me to quit watching television and start getting in the field and telling people about the product, it'll sell.
It's amazing how that works. It's amazing how that works. People weren't even thinking about the product. They didn't know they have a need for the product. But because people went out there in the field and opened their mouths and shared with them, imagine that. They sold it.
That's exactly it. And think about this. I think about Joel Osteen's dad.
John.
John Osteen. And there was a man that was just really caught in that dilemma that we're talking about, and he's thinking, he's just caught in a quagmire. He doesn't know what to do. He's thinking, like, finally figures, if I could just get to one of the things that John Osteen's doing, and I can probably meet with him, then this thing will work out. So he goes to this whole conference, and he gets back to John's office, and John's a little man, and not John Ramos, I'm talking about Osteen.
I am too.
Right. And so he gets to his office, he's thinking, this is it. And so he says, listen, I knew if I could get to you, you could help me get to know what I need to do for God. And so he puts his hands together. He leans back in his chair and he looks at the man and he says, do something, lest you do nothing. Mm-hmm. And the biggest tragedy is going to be if you did nothing. And in a blessed land like America, it is easy to do nothing. There are so many things to make you comfortable in your nothingness and not to challenge your nothingness. Matter of fact, you can find friends that are nothingness and y'all could talk about nothing and eat around nothing. And and it's just amazing. It's like, oh my gosh, that's nothing.
Yeah.
You know,
is this going somewhere?
Is this going somewhere? Is there a reason for this conversation? Oh, this is another nothing meeting. And so if you want to go to college, if you want to get married, if you want to minister for Jesus, if you want to plant a church, if you're going to win someone to Jesus, if you want to be a musician, if you want to be the president of the United States, you know, it's all going to happen in your timeline.
That's right.
It's going to happen when you begin to say, this is what I see for my life. This is where the Lord's leading me. And I'm going to begin to figure out what it's going to take to be able to do it. I'm going to pray for God's wisdom, but I'm going to do something. At least I do nothing. Because no matter what, no matter what in your life, it will end up being told by these three things. It will end, your life will end, your whole life story will be told on a gravestone. On a gravestone, they'll have your name, and under your name, they'll have three things. They'll have the date that you were born, they'll have the date that you died, and in the middle, they have a very small dash. And let me tell you something, this life goes by so fast. If you don't wake up, it will end in nothingness for you. It will end with just hopes and dreams that never became realities. When everything inside of you was inside everybody else, but you chose not to take those talents and to invest them and to do something, lest you do nothing. I want to encourage you today to realize you have something in common with everyone. Three things. The date we're born. The date we die. And anything we're going to accomplish has to be done during that time. Make it a moment. Make your life count. As James says, he calls it a vapor. Do something in your vapor. Do something for God. Quit asking for permission to do what God commanded you to do. Just get in relationship and become accountable so that you actually survive in what you're doing. It's time to get active. It's time for the church to wake up, shake itself, bring together what remains, and do what God has called you to do.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. The Coffee House. If you're looking for a great cup of coffee in a warm setting and nice leather chairs, they even have a fireplace, freshly made sandwiches. Also, if you're looking for a place to meet or business meetings, they have a great place for you. Go visit them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, John, a lot of conversations I've had with people, you know, people are expressing a lot of hardship and difficulties bringing up family, you know, bringing up fathers, you know, and families are really going through a lot of hardship right now, and it's difficult. It's hard being family. And, you know, personally, that's where I was as well. And when I got introduced to the VFN family, it totally encountered me in a new way. And Jesus Christ used the VFN family to just display his love and, you know, the power of his presence through the VFN family to just draw me to himself. And I just want to encourage you that if you've grown up and you just had a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pains, and family has been difficult to you, I just want to encourage you that you know, the VFN family, we're just centered around Jesus Christ and just trying to love other people, love God, and just lead others to do the same. I just want to encourage you, check out vfnfamily.org.